Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson, and you're with UrbanBuzzMag.com, and I have Nyel Martin on the line with me, and he's a playwright, producer, and a mental health advocate, but he's working on his third play, and the play is A Father's Love. Welcome, Nyel Martin. Nyel, say hello to the people.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you for giving me this platform.
You're more than welcome. So tell us a little bit about the play without giving it all away, because we want people to go buy tickets and go and enjoy.
Definitely. Well, A Father's Love is a show that we have done numerous times before in the past. We've done it in Washington, D.C. at the Warner Theater. We've done it in Atlanta. We've done it in Lauderdale, Florida. Now we're doing it here in North Miami Beach area. And A Father's Love is an emotional stage play that explores family, forgiveness, trauma, faith, and healing. It follows a young man searching for love and acceptance from his father while entertaining and challenging the audience to have conversations about mental health, about trauma within a family home, and about the power of forgiveness.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, and when you talk about trauma from a child's standpoint, I want to know, do you have any messages for parents? Because that's where it all starts from.
Definitely. So growing up, I never felt truly loved by my parents.
Okay.
And so especially my father, who wasn't in the home.
Okay.
He was absent from the home. I knew where he was. I knew who he is. But he just never was a true father to me. The story comes from a very personal place. Like I said before, throughout my life, I experienced pain, rejection, the desire to be loved. And instead of that, me finding true love for my mom and my dad, you know, I did things. It made me depressed.
Okay.
You know, it made me question my value, maybe question my worth in life because I didn't have that dad, you know,
right.
Somebody who I can look up to. You know, I went out and played football, played baseball just to try to get my dad's attention.
Wow.
And I did all that and nothing still worked. He still wasn't there. You know, it hurt.
Right.
You know, deeply for me. You know, I will see in other kids with their parents, or I'll see, you know, my friends with their dads, you know, going out, having a good time, you know, and I was like, dang, where's my dad?
Right.
You know, why couldn't he be there for me? Like my friends' dads are there for them.
Right. So a father's love is coming from a very authentic place.
Definitely. And the show is so powerful because we have a really good cast. We have Terrell Carter from Tyler Perry, Beauty and Black. We have David Tolliver from the group Men at Large, Reverend Jamie Knight in the show, and numerous other people as part of the show to really bring this show to life. You know, it takes the audience on a journey of not only mental health, but also it talks about trying to do everything possible to be that man that you think your father wants you to be.
Oh, okay.
You know, no matter what you do, it's never good enough.
Wow. Yeah. How did you become interested in doing stage plays? Like, was you doing that in school? Did your mom or you go to a play and say, hey, that's something I think I would be interested in doing? How did you get introduced?
Well, I was young. My mom took me to the Coconut Grove Children's Theater, headed by Corky Dozier. And I told her I wanted to do acting. I told her I wanted to do something totally different. I used to watch, was it Different Strokes? So I used to watch that. I was like, Mom, I want to be on TV like them.
Right.
And so, you know, she enrolled me into acting and I fell in love with it. I was able to be somebody on stage that I normally would not have been or play a character.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm on stage, I find myself at peace.
Okay.
I really do. It takes me to another, I don't know what it is, another dimension or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
But I'm truly at peace. I'm able to be somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have to put up this, you know, persona,
right.
You know, for everyone in the world. So I went to the Coconut Grove Children's Theater. I started there. I told my mom I wanted to start my own production company and producing stage plays. She took me to, I think it was Tools for Change, to get incorporated, have my own business. And I had my own business since the age of 16 and doing shows and creating jobs for people. And that's
since
what I love
18?
To do. Yeah, 16.
Whoa.
I started my company at the age of 16.
15.
Yep.
1-5.
16. Yeah, 1-6.
1-6.
16.
1-6.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, 16 years old. So I got incorporated. I went through the whole thing. They bought me a computer. Had to do my bylaws. They helped me out with that.
I love it.
I learned the business side, how to do budgets. It was good. Like, I wanted to do things the correct way.
Wow.
You know, and not just say, oh, I have a business. No, I wanted to be incorporated and recognized as a business.
Right. Well, kudos to your mom.
And no jive stands for Nyel. The N and No stands for Nyel. The J and Jive stands for Journey.
Okay.
So No Jive Production is all about Nyel's journey.
Wow. So did you have any mentors to help you? Because let's talk about this. 16. So how did you do your first play, and what was the name of it?
My first play was It's Time.
Okay.
It's Time. And honestly, I didn't know what I was doing. I just wanted to do a play, you know?
Uh-huh.
So literally, there was no set, no nothing. It was just light and like a background with like a church on there or something like that. And, you know, I probably only had like 10 people show up, but I still
it's
did.
It's okay,
you know?
Yeah.
And I still was happy about it. You know, now we have a full set, full lighting, everything like that.
Right.
But I was 16. It was wonderful. You know, I still got those pictures somewhere. And I'm thinking, I think back and be like, wow, I actually did a show with no set, you know? So, but it was fun.
Okay. And so then what was the name? What was that play about? And then what was the first time you did your major stage play, the title of that, and what was that about?
So that show where it was just a whole bunch of monologues about things that teens have gone through, whether it was pregnancy, whether it was dealing with their mom or their dad.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a whole bunch of different pieces of different monologues for that particular show. And then we did, the other show was His Double Life. We did Why Does Love Hurt So Bad, Family Affair, and then we're doing The Father's Love.
Okay.
So I'm really, really, really in love with the show A Father's Love. I love it. You know, I'm also, too, I don't know if I mentioned this or not, but also have a book coming out as well on August 29th. You can purchase it on Amazon. It's called A Father's Love. It's the book version of the stage play. It's a short read, but I'm still happy that I was able to do it.
Wow. So you write all of your stage plays?
Yeah.
Okay. So that was easy to do a book. Did the book come first?
It was hard.
Really? Did the book come first or second? Like, how did that order? Okay, the play, then the book.
Because I never wrote a book before, so
okay.
It took me a good 2 years to try to put everything together to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a good book. It's a short read. I love it. You know, I had people test it out and read it for me before I went to publish it. So the book version is going to be coming out August 29th. It'll be at the show for sale as well as on Amazon. Also, too, they have be doing the Kindle version as well.
Okay. Excellent. Now, tell me about the first time you did your play professionally, the name of that play, and what was that experience like?
Well, it was at the Joseph Caleb Auditorium. It was His Double Life. It was a really good experience. I was nervous. I was scared. But it was a really good experience. I had the opportunity to really, you know, work with professional people as far as lighting, set design.
Right.
I had the opportunity to actually design what I wanted the set to look like. And the audience loved it. You know, it was here at the Joseph Caleb Auditorium. That was Joseph Caleb Auditorium's home to me. You know, that's where I first did, well, not the first, but one of the first where I did theater at and producing, you know, my own show at such an early young age.
And where is A Father's Love going to be premiering at?
At the Julius Lippmann Theater in North Miami Beach on August 29th. And tickets can be purchased on Eventbrite. And I'm so excited. VIP is already sold out. So we do have other tickets still available. So definitely people should get their tickets soon for the production.
Wow, I love it. And I love that you're able to use your stage plays to assist with promoting your mental health awareness and advocacy. You've been doing that over 25 years. And in the African-American community, I want us to understand that I believe in 2026, there is no more stigma. I believe people are going to get help. because, you know, maybe back in the day they didn't, but I do believe there's a uptick in making sure we're on our health journey. What are you seeing in your advocacy? Are you seeing more people wanting help, or what's your view?
Actually, and that's why I like to talk about my own life experience, because I still feel that people are still somewhat ashamed. They don't want to go get help, or they don't make the time.
Oh my goodness.
When I was going through my depression, and when I was going through everything that I was going through, you know, feeling unwanted, feeling unloved, feeling I just wasn't good enough for anybody, not even good enough for my own self, you know? And I had a breaking point where I tried to commit suicide twice, one time by pills. Thank God I'm still here. The other time, I'll never forget, I just had enough. I think I just got tired of people lying to me, from my dad, just from friends, from people, family. You know, I just felt like I just wasn't good enough. No matter what I did, it just wasn't good enough. And I remember going to my friend's house at that time, and going to this place, and he knows I'm like always like, you know, telling jokes, laughing, blah, blah, blah. But this one particular day, I went to the house, I went to the kitchen, I got a knife, I went to the bathroom, and he knew something was wrong, but he just couldn't pinpoint it. And I'll never forget, I literally was crying. I just took the knife and just started slicing my wrist. God. And what people don't realize, that, you know, people tell me all the time, well, how can you slice your wrist? Doesn't that hurt? You know, when you're going through so much,
right?
To be honest with you, when I was looking at the blood that was coming out, it was like a relief for me. It really was. I felt like I was being released from the pain and the hurt that I was going through. So I didn't feel the pain when I was going through it. And then I remember getting up and saying, damn, this knife's not sharp enough, you know? I remember getting up, going and trying to get another knife. And good thing my friend, he's a nurse, he saw me. He was like, you know, what are you doing? He saw my wrist. Thank God I didn't hit a major artery.
Right.
So he did what he had to do. And I'll never forget. And this is when one of the reasons why I know God is good. I'll never forget when he put me in the bed. I was laying in the bed and he was praying over my body. Remind me, I was crying, you know, he was just praying hard. I don't even remember what he was saying.
Right.
But I never forget when he said, amen, my whole body became so peaceful and I fell asleep just like that.
Wow.
And then it was a good sleep, but I'll never forget, like, and when I woke up, and I remember he went to work late that day because he wanted to make sure I was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I felt a peace like I never felt before, you know? You know, I said, you know what? I can't fix this on my own, you know? So I had to go get help and speak to someone about what I was going through, my feelings, about my self-worth, you know? And I'm glad I did that. And even till to this day, I don't go like every single week, but till to this day, I still go to see someone to talk to.
So you know, you're talking about going to therapy. I just want people to know. Yeah.
Correct. And just because, and sometimes I go to therapy and there's nothing wrong. Sometimes you just need to go to therapy and just talk about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And just get stuff off of your chest. Because sometimes the people like your family, your friends, your associates, those are not the ones you need to talk to. You need to go to somebody who's a professional who don't know you, who can give you the truth, you know, and not sugarcoat stuff for you, you know?
Yes.
But also, too, give you the tools that you need to better yourself, you know? So I'm happy that I did that. I'm happy, you know, that I'm not ashamed. If I do need to go to see the person that I go to and talk to, I'll pick up the phone and make an appointment. You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we need to do as a whole to not feel ashamed to do it. And it's okay to talk to a total stranger.
Right.
You know? It's okay to do that.
Absolutely. But it's also important to get the right person, too.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Like, I don't want nobody who's just there just for a paycheck. I want somebody there who really want to listen to me and, you know, that's going to give me some really good tools. And don't tell me just to get over it. No.
Oh, Lord.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I had that happen to me one time. I hate that.
Yeah.
But.
Now, one of the things, and I love that you brought up therapy, and yes, we need to get things out, but there's a second part to therapy, which is forgiving yourself, right? Of the shame and guilt that you may have gone through, like people who may have been molested or people who've you know, been in horrific accidents. And for some reason, mm-hmm. our mind is just, I don't know, like, what did I do? Like, why did this happen mm-hmm. to me? And I can't believe this happened to me. And so sometimes people take on the onset that it was their fault. Can you speak on mm-hmm. how important it is to forgive yourself?
It's very important, because when I was a kid, I'll never forget, my mother's brother abused me when I was a kid. I'll never forget, I was in the kitchen, I was playing my little game. I think it was like 9 or 10 or something like that, I can't remember. And I'll never forget, he just snapped, took me, picked me up, threw me on the floor, threw me against the cabinet, threw me against the refrigerator, you know? And I was mad for a long time at my mom and my grandma, for a long, because I felt like they didn't protect me. They didn't make sure he went to jail or nothing. You know, like, mm-hmm. nobody had my back. Who was protecting Nael? So at right. that point, I felt like it was my fault. I did something wrong. Mm. You know, what did I do? Mm-hmm. You know, but be a little kid playing my little science game on the counter. That's all I was
right.
was doing. But nobody ran to my defense to help me, you know. Yes, I dealt with that for a long time. You know, and it took a lot for me recently to forgive myself and also to forgive my mom and my grandma for not protecting that little boy
right,
who needed them.
Right.
You know? So that took a long time. That definitely wasn't an easy process. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you got to forgive. You got to feel. I understand I got to forgive, but nobody gives you the tools on how to forgive.
Right. Like you know? You said, it's took a process.
It took me a lot of talking it out, you know,
mm-hmm.
and really, really expressing myself and trying to figure out what did I do wrong, you know, and from the reality, I didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't me, you know, and I had to forgive those individuals,
right?
You know,
right.
and eventually it just hit me one day and I was like, oh, what took so long for me to have this feeling of forgiveness?
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. Yeah.
So
no.
I don't have the formula. I don't have the formula for it.
Right. But, right.
It takes time.
All right. Well, let's get back on track with your stage plays.
Okay.
No, but that was important. We want to help people to just kind of navigate some things. And of course, creatives are always, there's always a piece of us in our art, whether it's painting, music, stage plays, films, TV projects. That's what makes it so good, especially if it's real good. We're like, ooh, that was good, because we can relate. Now, are you interested in any, okay, so you wrote, you have a book, you're doing the stage plays. Are you looking at TV and film?
I'm looking at turning my stage play into a movie.
Okay.
I definitely want to do that. I have never produced or done a movie before. So I am open to people who have those expertise.
Mm-hmm.
Who's willing to, you know, help me out, definitely get in contact with, you know, my publicist, or hit me up on Instagram and see what we could possibly do to turn the show into, well, the stage play into a movie. I pretty much have my script already.
Uh-huh.
I just, you know, I need somebody to help me to navigate what to do next, because that's not my expertise.
Okay, right. And have you acted in any of your stage plays, or are you just behind the scenes?
I'm just behind the scenes. I used to do acting when I was at the Coconut Grove Children's Theater,
mm-hmm.
but I'm behind the scenes. But for the movie, I definitely do want to do a cameo appearance.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Nael, I appreciate you coming through. And as we say, once a key player, always a key player. So keep us in mind to be one of your media outlets, especially when you do that film project. And for people who are listening, make sure if you're in the Miami area to please go out and attend and let them know where they need to go.
Yeah, definitely. If you ever search for acceptance, question your worth, you struggle with forgiveness, or simply wanted to feel seen, A Father's Love is for you. Join us on August 29th at 7:30 p.m. at the Julius Lippmann Performing Arts Theater in North Miami Beach. Tickets can be purchased on Eventbrite, as well as follow us on Instagram, The Real Nael Martin, that's NIALMARTIN, for all the latest updates.
I appreciate you. And again, thank you so much. And thank you for sharing with us. And man, we're looking for more. You're already working on the third one. You have a title for the fourth one. Can we get an exclusive?
Not yet. I'm still working on it.
Okay. 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 Okay.
Yeah, still working on it.
All right. Oh, let me ask you something before we go. Mm-hmm. Soundtracks. How do you engage with artists, or who's your musical director for the play? Because I swear, some of these plays, their music be on point.
Yeah, so DeAndre, he's our musical director. He scores our show for us. Then also, too, Terrell, he does a few songs from his album. Reverend Jamie Knight, she has her own album as well, gospel album. A few of her songs are in the show, but they're powerful songs.
Yes.
So the show is not full of just singing. You know, these are like powerful songs that fit certain things.
Okay.
But yeah, DeAndre, he's our musical director.
All right. Well, salute to DeAndre. All right. Well, again, thank you. And like I said, once a key player, always a key player. So keep us in mind. And again, congratulations on the stage play, A Father's Love.
Thank you so much. And remember, it is best to prepare for an opportunity and not have one than to have an opportunity and not be prepared. Thank you so much.
Let the church say amen.